I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, a legendary brain surgeon talks about his latest achievement, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We talk with Dr. Benjamin Carson in our Wisdom Watch conversation. But first, Michelle Obama's time in the public eye has revived conversations about the way African-American women are depicted in the popular media. While Mrs. Obama has graced the pages of Vogue, Newsweek, the celebrity magazine Us Weekly, and of course, Essence and Ebony magazines, she's also been criticized by some commentators as arrogant, unpatriotic, and angry. We're talking about Michelle Obama's image in our monthly visit with the magazine mavens. Here with us, Harriet Cole, creative director at Ebony magazine. Also with us, Tasha Robertson, news editor at Essence magazine. Welcome to you both.
Pleasure.
Glad to be here.
Harriet, let me start with you. Take the long view here. Have you ever seen an African-American woman who's not the principal? I mean, she is not the candidate whose image has evoked this kind of response?
I'd have to say no. I don't recall it in history. The only person that I could think of who received quite a bit of scrutiny during her early moment was Carol Moseley Braun, but she was the main person. I think that what's happening now is that America and perhaps the world are in shock that there is an African-American Democratic nominee, for one, and with him, a wife who is hardly Barbie. You know, she is a powerful, tall, smart, clear-thinking, clear-speaking, grounded woman, and we don't know her. So what happened, I believe, during the primary process is she would say things and bits of it would become the sound bites that would be played again and again, but you didn't get to see all of her. You know, you would see the scowl on her face, but not the smile. You might see an angry moment, and then she got called the angry woman, but you didn't get to know her. So today, as the Democratic nominee is representing himself in the general election cycle, so is she, and I think we are all getting to know her and the two of them with fresh eyes.
Well, Tasha, though, I would push back a little bit on what Harriet said, in part because I think Hillary Clinton was subjected to a very great deal of scrutiny when she was the wife of the Democratic nominee. But I don't know, the difference for me, though, is that she has never had a policymaking role in her husband's political career, unlike Mrs. Clinton. I mean, you've never heard Barack Obama say two for the price of one, for example.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, despite all that, I mean, I think I've never seen anything like it. I really do believe she's been scrutinized. I would say even more so than Hillary Clinton. I mean, we all know how hard Hillary Clinton had it years ago when her husband was running for president. But I think there's something really interesting going on. The opponents of Barack Obama have not really been able to have their criticism stick. So, I mean, there was the Reverend Wright issue. There was the, you know, the flag pin. None of that really stuck. And also, Barack Obama has sort of been able to not be raceless. No, of course not. But race is not a huge factor. I mean, it has been an election, but all types of people can relate to him. I really believe that Michelle Obama is someone that the opponents are now kind of focusing on. If they really can't make Senator Obama seem angry, now they're focusing on Michelle Obama.
Why though?
They got to do anything they can.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, it doesn't really stick with Senator Obama. You know, he transcends, it seems like, race in some ways. But Michelle Obama is, the next, you know, best.
Both of your publications have been interested in her. I mean, Tasha, I have to say, Essence did a set of interviews with the candidates a while ago. But your interview with Michelle Obama ran before that.
Absolutely. We were one of the first to really look at Michelle.
Yeah, is that? What were you interested in?
Well, we're Black-owned women's publication. I mean, most of our readers are African-American women. But this is the real reason is because Black women are going to be so important to this election. We're talking like 6 out of 10 Black voters are African-American women.
And, you know, Michelle, we talked about their relationship. You know, it was our love issue, and we held them up as one of the hottest couples. But in talking to them about their relationship, it's so interesting now, looking forward, to see that here is a couple who genuinely love each other. Every time we would watch the two of them on stage through this whole primary cycle, you would see it. It was tangible that they love each other, that they are connected. And to me, that makes Michelle more interesting, but also it makes their relationship dynamic interesting for our country, in that we live in a country where there's so many fractured marriages, where, you know, for African-American couples, you often don't see a male in that partnership. And here we see a marriage, a family, and a family committed to the greater cause, to America, but all the while you see love on stage. That is very powerful.
Tasha, the veteran journalist and my dear friend Gwen Ifill wrote the Essence story on Michelle Obama.
She did a wonderful job.
I think so, too. The story describes her as having a commanding presence at her husband's events, but now somehow that has become described by some as intimidating.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
That's been really interesting to me, how things shifted. You're right. Back when Gwen followed her in New Hampshire and Iowa, people loved her. I mean, the women just loved the way she talked about, you know, how she was so tired after, you know, playing with the children or going to the grocery store, going to Target. The audience loved it. And really, people thought of her as, you know, someone like them. They could relate to her. And all of a sudden, I really think things have changed. And I really believe part of it is Obama is now, you know, he's now the nominee. And like I said earlier, they really can't get to Senator Obama. And I think the next best thing is really to scrutinize Michelle Obama.
What about the comparison between the media's treatment of Michelle Obama and Cindy McCain? I mean, one does not see, the same level of discussion about Cindy McCain.
In an interesting way, I think it's apples and oranges, in that Michelle and Barack are new to the cultural landscape. And the fact of the matter is they're an African-American couple now at the forefront of, you know, this international stage, because America is bigger than a national stage. Now, also, Cindy McCain, you know, she's not a threat in the way that we often think of a black woman to be. If we look at stereotypes, and this is what I wanted to get at, what is happening in painting the picture of Michelle Obama quite a bit is painting her into a stereotype. There is a stereotype of the angry black woman, and it's been part of our cultural heritage for many, many years. And I think that you're right, Tasha, that if we can't get at Senator Obama, let's get at his wife and use a stereotype that sets off all kinds of reactions.
Absolutely.
And I think, though, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because as we saw on The View, you got to see Michelle Obama in a dress smiling and talking and laughing. And by the way, on Larry King Live, we saw, what's the woman from The View?
You're talking about Joy Behar from The View.
Oh, thank you. Talking about her being in the studio with Michelle and being on The View with Cindy McCain. And what she said is she would like to hang out with Michelle.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was very real. She was very down to earth. She felt that she could let her hair down being in Michelle's company, and that Cindy, while very, very nice, was very reserved and conservative.
But she's very rich.
But maybe it's a Democrat problem, though, in the sense that, like, again, I have to go back to the comparison with Hillary Rodham Clinton when she was, her role in the campaign was the spouse, and all of her writings from law school were dug up. I mean, her
That's
work
true.
For the Children's Defense
that
Fund were dug up. And I just wonder, is there something about the fact that women on the Democratic side are somehow seen as in the forefront of the culture wars in a way that Republican women are not? Or is it a racial thing where it's like, if you're a black woman, you automatically have to get the, you know, your finger in the air and the head and neck going and, you know?
Well, I think Clinton and Obama married two very strong women who, you know, they're very smart. They had great careers. They still do. So I think that's part of it. Laura Bush, she was a librarian, but she did not have a really
high-powered... traditional wife.
Exactly. She did not have this high-powered job. So I think, in a way, I really believe part of that is the issue. You know, people were starting... They really scrutinized these two women because of their career choices. I mean, that's part of it.
And I really... You know, because Hillary's presidential campaign was so, so powerful, it erased the memory for me of when her husband was running. So I do agree with you that she was scrutinized. I will say this, though. I don't believe that the intensity was the same.
No.
I think that what's happening, that there is a belief out there on the right, let's say, that if they scrutinize Michelle enough, that she could bring her husband down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that that feeling is the feeling that we had as observers, whether in the media or not, when Clinton was originally in his first run. I think the stakes feel higher now.
They absolutely do, and it does seem like the scrutiny is really, really intense. But I do think the Obamas and his camp, he has a really strong camp. I think they're totally aware of this.
Yep.
I think, you know, they have top woman who is now
Stephanie Cutter,
who's just brilliant. I mean, I worked in for the Boston Globe for years, and she was Carrie's, you know, top aide, and she was with the Kennedys. And so she's a veteran. She knows what's going on here. So I really think they're going to have a hard time.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with Harriet Cole of Ebony Magazine and Tasha Robertson of Essence Magazine about Michelle Obama's image. And we want to ask you, do you think Michelle Obama is being portrayed fairly by the press as unpatriotic, intimidating, supportive, loving? What about Cindy McCain? Is the coverage balanced between the two? How much, if any, will the spouse of a candidate factor into your vote for president? Not an issue? To tell us more about what you think and to read what other listeners are saying, go to the Tell Me More website at npr.org. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522. Okay, back to you, Tasha. You were just mentioning that the campaign just brought on Stephanie Cutter to work as Michelle Obama's chief of staff. Obviously, because he's the presumed Democratic nominee, she is now going to have staff. But do you think that this is a harbinger of some kind of makeover to come? Is a makeover needed? And if so, what form should it take?
No matter what they say, I definitely think it's happening. Like you said earlier on, she was looked at this person that people could relate to. Now it's different. Regardless of who she really is, if the opponents continue to beat her down on certain issues, you know, people are going to finally see her as that. And I think her camp, they're going to work to stop that. But I do think she needs to do certain things. Well, you know, previous first ladies have had some type of political platform. I mean, even if it was something simple, I mean, on drugs or, you know, I really do think there has to be something like that. You know, she's a smart woman. I think that's important. I don't know.
Well,
okay, go ahead, Harriet.
I would say I do not think that what's happening is a makeover. I think that what's happening is a refinement of her presentation, which is different. A makeover is you kind of go in the back room and you take everything off and you get new clothes, you get a new look, you get a new way of communicating. I don't think that's happening. I think that what's happening is a recognition that the stakes are very high, that in this land of the internet and YouTube and, you know, the immediacy of any word that you may use being repeated in perpetuity, that there is a finer point being put on what Michelle decides to say and do. And I think that's different from a makeover. I think it's being called a makeover because, again, I think even that term makes it seem like there was something wrong with her. But I've spent a lot of time talking to her. I firmly believe that it's us getting to know her, you know, America getting to know her because she's more in the national forefront, because now all these magazines are talking to her. She's talking on national television more than just in, you know, at a particular location on the campaign trail. And how she is presenting herself to America, she's refining.
Yeah. I think it's a slight makeover. I really do. I mean, when you think about Michelle Obama early on, she was talking a lot. I mean, in a very good way. She was very down to earth, very blunt. That has stopped. I really do believe that has stopped.
You don't think she's blunt? She told us that she doesn't wear pantyhose. That was blunt.
That's not that blunt. A lot of us, you know, don't wear
pantyhose.
But
we don't say it if you're running. You know. I mean, interestingly, that particular point, which one might think is benign, has caused all kinds of discussion. You know, is she too left because she doesn't wear pantyhose?
I think she's being more careful. And I think, like you said, the stakes are higher and they totally understand. But I really do believe there's a slight makeover. They are refining things, but I really do believe they're really looking at the larger picture and they don't want her to, you know, make a mistake.
We only have a couple minutes left. I cannot let each of you go without asking about your issues out on the stands now. Harriet, you have Serena Williams on the cover of Ebony this month. Why is she your cover gal?
Well, we decided to do a Summer's Best issue where we talked about all the fun things that you can do this summer, because all of us work probably too hard, too long, and we wanted to inspire our readers to go out and have a great time. And in thinking of who would represent fun at its finest, we thought of Serena Williams. This is her time of year, you know, and she does it at its best, you know, playing tennis, even in the midst of working, like when the photo shoot, because she was there on time and she was focused, we all had a great time. And that was something that I really wanted our readers to know, that she's an example of what can happen when you want to have fun. Make sure you show up on time and you do things the right way, and then the whole experience can be fun.
All right. Interesting. Tasha, you had Gabrielle Union on your cover this month. She has a new do, and she also was on your cover last year. So why did she make the cut again this year? And I have to mention, I somehow have not made it. I don't understand why not.
I'm going to tell Angela about that, because you got to rethink this.
But anyway,
well,
tell me about
our
that.
Our readers love her. I mean, she is absolutely gorgeous. She's smart. She's become this solid businesswoman. I mean, she is a great actress, but she's also, you know, she has great friends in Hollywood, in regular friends. You know, she's very health oriented and she's just very, very business minded. So, I mean, our readers absolutely love her.
All right.
And so we listen to our readers.
Okay. Tasha Robertson is the news editor at Essence Magazine. Harriet Cole is the creative director of Ebony Magazine. They both joined us from our New York Bureau. Ladies, Mavens, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.